Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, I'm Katrina Blankenship, your host of Community Radio. Along with many special guests, we look into the strengths and weaknesses of local communities. Did you know that the strength of a community comes from the strength of its people? This radio broadcast is a grassroots project to build communities one person at a time. This Katrina has been through a hurricane myself. Through my journey, I continually meet people who are just like me, and I want to share our lives and our experiences with you. We're all learning on this journey. And why not learn from one another and help encourage and build one another to build a strong community? Listen right here every Thursday evening at 8 p.m. on Katrina.com. You'll be inspired. If you'd like to give us a call during the show, our number is 1-877-598-8549. That's 877-598-8549. Join in with us through Facebook or through our online chat here. Now, it's time for Community Radio.
Welcome to Community Radio, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight is February the 26th. It's hard to believe it's the end of February. I tell you one thing, though, winter is sure going out with a boom. We got 6 more inches in Central Virginia last night. I tell you, it was one beautiful sight. The last snow we got last week was very beautiful, but it was powdery. It was a dry snow. It didn't stick to the trees. It was very easy to drive in, very easy to sleigh ride in, according to a lot of young people. It was easy to do a lot of things, but it was not easy to make snowballs and build snowmen. So the snow we got last night was incredible. It was wet. It was a very heavy snow, very beautiful, hanging on the trees and all the limbs. And it was a great way for young people and people of all ages to go out and build snowmen, snow forts. Our yard was full of snow forts today. It was kind of fun to watch everybody be able to play, build those snowmen, the ice sculptures that people love, and the snow sculptures that people create in the wintertime are amazing. I'm always amazed at the ones that come across the internet. You see so many pictures of everything from a mermaid to an alligator to a tractor to a monster truck, and I'm talking life size. Now, those people up in the northern part of the country on the East Coast probably have enough snow. Now they are probably sick of it, and they're probably ready to send it on down the road to somebody else to deal with, and they sure probably are ready for spring. I know the people here in Central Virginia can't complain because we've had a great winter, and on the East Coast, for the most part, we've had a wonderful winter, but to me, it was wonderful once the snow came. I know those of you that have been complaining and fussing, and it has been difficult for a lot of people with broken pipes and frozen pipes and all kinds of water damage and water problems, and that definitely is not something that's easy to deal with. And so I'm sorry that you've had to deal with all of those things along with it, but the snow has been quite pretty and quite interesting for the past couple of weeks. I think everybody's kind of got their system down pat, though, now, because most of the people that I talked to today, even though they might have got anywhere from 6 to 10 inches, they did not fuss and complain. When I talked to several customers today, they said, well, you know, we got 6 inches, 10 inches. I said, well, how is it? Oh, it's great. I'm just going to stay in. Or some people were already digging their way out, and you know, I think it's because we haven't had it in a long time. While last week's snow irritated a lot of people, they had forgotten how to drive in it, how to get around in it, how to deal with it. Now, see, it's kind of grown on all of us for a week or so, and you kind of are used to seeing all that pretty white stuff out there, and so you're getting kind of used to it. I want to welcome you to the show tonight. Whether you've got snow or you've got the trees budding in your yard already, wherever you're listening to us from, thank you for listening to Community Radio. Tonight, we want to talk about net neutrality. A lot of people have been hearing this subject talked about in the news, and it's all over the internet. It's all over TV, radio. Seems like nobody really talked about it until a few days ago. And a lot of people have been very surprised that this subject hasn't been talked about before now. And so I want to kind of share with you a little bit about the subject, what net neutrality means, what it means for you as a user, for those of us who use the internet on a daily basis in our jobs, how it might affect us, business owners, entrepreneurs. We want to talk about these things. And that's our main topic for the show for tonight. I want to share with you a little bit about the show last week. we had Major Dave on, Major Dave Getz, who was talking to us about the rally in King, North Carolina. And a couple days after the show, I got an email from Mr. Hewitt, who lives in King, North Carolina. I think, I don't know if he lives there now, but lives maybe outside of, he lived in King. And he was the gentleman that sued the city, or sued the town for the issue with the Christian flag and so forth. Now, Mr. Hewitt felt like our conversation last Monday night or last Thursday night was very one-sided, and so I corresponded with Mr. Hewitt and asked him if he'd like to be on our radio show, and I told him that I would love to give him the opportunity to talk and give him the opportunity to share his side of the story and the way he feels about religious freedom and what he fought for in our country. He could not be on the show tonight. We are going to try to work on possibly next Thursday night or soon. He did have something else planned, and I did give him that opportunity to talk to you, to talk to the public, and share his side. And I feel like that's one of the biggest things that we can do as a community is to let people in our communities speak, whether we personally agree with them or not, whether we personally understand their side or their stand on a particular issue. I think it's only right to give them an opportunity to talk, and it's only right to let people voice their opinion. We do live in a country where our freedoms are very seriously at risk right now, and in a lot of ways, there has been a lot of discussion over the past few months about the internet. About 6 months ago, there was a lot of talk about the possibility of transferring the control and the power of the internet over to the United Nations. And a lot of people had a lot of problems with that, very vocal, very emphatic, that they felt like that would have been, that would be a poor judgment call on behalf of the world leaders to be able to turn the internet over to the UN. Since then, a lot of discussion has been talked about, and the FCC was planning to vote today whether they would go forward with net neutrality or not. I want to explain to you what that means. Those of you that are listening to us on the show tonight do understand how the internet works, especially you're listening to us on the show on the internet. I don't see anyone else calling in from a landline listening tonight. So all of you that are listening through the internet via whatever ISP that you have. And I want to explain to you with me being a computer programmer and a web developer, I use the internet all the time, and I think I can explain it to you in simple terms to where you can understand how it works. An ISP is an internet service provider, and that internet service provider offers you a way to connect to the internet. You might get connected through Verizon, through your local telephone line. Maybe you're listening to us through dial-up. Probably not. You're, because of the speed, might not be fast enough. But the internet comes to you some way, whether you're using a telephone connection through your telephone company, through cable. A lot of people use cable. Some people use a dish. Some people use their cell phone and use a wireless connection. You might be listening to us on your phone. But that speed and that download time, whether you're downloading a file or you're listening to it in real time, if you're listening to it in real time or if you're listening to it in archive, it has to buffer. And buffer means it's the time, the amount of speed, the amount of time it takes to download that file to your device to be able to view it or hear it or however that works. Now, internet service providers offer the way to get on the internet. And there has been a lot of talk that the reason that they needed to add net neutrality, which is, would give more fairness to everyone, and also, excuse me, I'm still got a little bit of cough. It would still give people that didn't have a way to access certain files more neutrality, more a neutral type environment to where that internet service providers or your movie company or however you decided to get, whether it's a movie or a file or your email or listening to us on a radio program or watching television online or playing video games with people across the internet, it would force those people to have certain connection speeds. It would force them to have certain pricing. It would force them to, let's say, for example, and I'll try to explain this to you so you'll understand a little bit better. What if you were a person who were on a very tight budget and you wanted to be able to get a movie and download it? And because you had slow internet or because you had an internet service provider that decided you had to pay certain fees to be able to download that and have certain bandwidth and so forth. And I won't try to go to a whole lot of detail to confuse you, but what would happen is if you were on a tight budget, it would make it to where everybody paid the same pricing or it made it more equal for everybody. Now, what they've tried to do, and a lot of people have suggested in times past, is have like tier level pricing to where, well, you can surf the internet and see, you know, a third of the content on the web, and I'm not going to talk about any specific content right now, but a third of the content on the web. If you wanted to get more content, you'd have to pay a certain fee to go to the next tier. If you wanted everything, you'd have to pay another fee. Well, the FCC was going to rule on this net neutrality. From what we understand, there was over a 330-page document that was written with all the rules and regulations that they were going to vote on this today. From what we have been told, the majority of this document has been written by our federal government, written by people in the White House. Now, that document has not been put out for the public. And they voted on this without people seeing it. It happens on all levels of government. It's like in our local hometown, which aggravates me to death, how they have these things on the consent agenda and nobody knows about it, and they go ahead and vote on it, and it's so, if they don't put that document out there for people to see, then nobody knows what's really coming down the pike. To be honest with you, that's what I think kind of sums it up. It's like they're trying to hide something. Some things are out in the open, but not everything. So with this one particular document, they did not put it out for everyone to see and vote on. And a lot of conservatives, and I am one of those people, if you want to classify me in whatever category you want to, believe that this 330-page document also includes a lot more regulations for individuals, for businesses, for different groups to block or hinder certain things being put on the web. Now, supposedly, let's go back to that comment that I made earlier about they wanted to give the internet over to the UN. Well, they said that that was going to happen in August of 2015. So here we are in February of 2015, and this is something that has just popped up in the past 2 or 3 days. You've probably heard a lot about it. I sent out an email. If you're on my mailing list, if you're not on my mailing list, go to www.thecommunityjournal.us and sign up. It's a free newsletter. We let everybody know what's going on with all kinds of things across the country. So make sure you sign up for that newsletter if you're not on my list. So I send out this email, of course, just like everybody else, to try to educate people, let them know more about what net neutrality means. We feel like that this is encompassing so many more government regulations that it will block certain content to be put on the web. If you're a Facebooker, you know that that Facebook is inundated with every kind of political ad or political slander, one way or the other. It's the liberals or the conservatives, and I'm saying it's just as much one as it is the other. The social media is full of ads, full of content, articles, news articles that people have written about the president, about this person or that person, senator, congressman, whatever, local government, and we believe, can classify myself in those conservative people, believe, and patriots, believe that it is being done not so there is a more neutral, just like the healthcare system that has been proposed to us. You can keep your doctor, you can keep your healthcare, you can do whatever you want. This is to make a more neutral, fair and equal health care system for all citizens. When once this document comes out and people start digging and they start reading, they find out that, no, you can't keep your doctor. No, you're going to lose your insurance. No, you can't do this or you can't do that with your medicine, with your health care, if you're a certain age, we're going to cut you off. We're not going to take care of you anymore. So what a lot of people feel like is the next step is to cut the internet off from people. Certain content will be cut off. If you understand how the internet works, and let me give you a little bit of history of the internet, if you really want to know a little bit about how it all works. The internet was originally created in the 1950s. It was called the ARPANET in the very beginning. And I guess if you wanted to give it a name in the very beginning. And the Department of Defense started awarding contracts for different people to have certain parts of the internet to where that they could use it to correspond and send information back and forth. So our military were some of the very first people to be able to use it for correspondence here in the United States. Now, the Internet was so new. In fact, in the 60s and 70s, it was so new to people. They really didn't even have any idea that there was an opportunity to be able to send information through via the phone lines, through a World Wide Web type venue. But in the early 90s, and I'll kind of tell you how I got started in it and where it was when I started using the Internet, some of the first online services were AOL, Prodigy. You might remember back the online service, and you would pay a fee to be a member, and you would connect to the Internet that way. And it really wasn't giving you all the access to the World Wide Web, but you would be in their portal. You would be able to see news and information, email and things like that via this online service. And then the World Wide Web became even more popular to where that you could surf websites of, and people could then design their own websites. And one thing has led to another. When I started out, it was 1991, 92, I guess, was when I started with the Internet. It was baby stages. We were all newbies. My first Internet program was Prodigy, and I remember seeing chat rooms and bulletin boards and news feeds, and it was amazing that you could talk to people all over the world, and it was kind of like you people who love ham radio, being able to pick that up, that voice up over the airwaves and talk to someone on the other side of the earth. Well, this way you could actually see it on a computer screen and see the words, the text, the pictures, and everything that went along with it. So when the Internet then became popular to where that then there were Internet service providers who would allow you raw access to the web, now we're in a situation where people can get email, they can surf websites, they can get, you know, email through either an online service or through their web mail, through Outlook, using that just as a tool to be able to open up your email. So many different ways to get your email, so many ways you can get it on your, you know, BlackBerry, or you can get it on your phone, and lots of tools to be able to get these things. But the also the next level of Internet was then opening up the World Wide Web to where that people could upload their own websites very easy. You could create your own designs and use templates. And so the web has just burst open at the seams. It has just been crazy how fast it has progressed, and it's a wonderful tool for so many people. Because I do marketing and web development for a living, I see business owners who use paper for years to now only way that they tell their customers what they do or invoice their customers is all via the Internet, whether it's through their website or through email or through their online accounting program. They pay their bills online. They do payroll online. You can connect to the government and pay your taxes online. It's just so many things that you can do from a business standpoint. So from an entrepreneur standpoint, those people, and I myself being one of them, just for a business standpoint, I'm not talking about the radio show or the journal right this second, I'll talk about that in a minute, but from a business standpoint, being able to have your business online, being able to have your own website, get on Facebook, get your email, correspond with customers, even have a radio show talking about your particular subject or something that you sell or a product or a service. It's a wonderful tool. From an individual standpoint, say you were very passionate about pro-life. You wanted to voice your opinion about how you supported people being able to have children, and you did not support abortion. And you wanted to talk about that. That was something that was very passionate to you. You went on your Facebook page, and you started talking about those things. And immediately your content is removed. Or what if you're a Democrat or a liberal, and you have a particular thing that you want to discuss, and and you decided to put your information out on the web, create your own website, your own blog, talk about whatever you wanted to talk about, and would your content be taken down? Nobody knows at this point. Most conservative people feel like that the goal for the FCC to have net neutrality and vote on this, and for the president and the White House to do this right now, it's not for equality and to keep neutral. It is to then provoke more regulations and to stir people and to let them know that they don't like that content that you're putting up online. Now, how fast will it change? They voted on it today. They voted yes. I sent an email out a couple days ago to everybody, gave them the information with the chairman and everybody with the FCC, call them, tell them, vote no. It didn't make a difference. I'm not saying it didn't make a difference. I said in my email, the two things that you can do is, one, make the phone call, two, pray, or vice versa, one, pray first, because you can soften the hearts of these people. Now, will God can soften the hearts of these people, will this make a huge difference in your life? It could tomorrow, it could 10 days from now, it could a year from now. Most likely, because the document has not been put out for the public to see immediately before the vote, most likely it means they're trying to hide something. Now, you got to remember, we have election 2016 coming up. So did they do this and did they vote on this to where that it's going to sway the people that are online to try to get them to see the one-sided view? Probably so. I was part of a group of people 2 years ago, 3 years ago maybe now, yes, I guess it was 3 years ago, before the last presidential election. And the reason I got connected with them is we live in Central Virginia, and in the western part of our state, there was a lot of people only with dial-up. They did not have high-speed internet. And there was a group of people who were trying to get high-speed internet for these individuals who only had dial-up. And the way that they were going about it is they were putting these transmitters up on the cell phone towers, and it would give people a faster connection. So it needed money to do that, where the cell phone towers were already in existence. So the government or the people in this one telephone company who was trying to get this going that were persuaded to get this project off the ground, they needed seed money to get it going. They needed to be able to buy the transmitters, to pay for the people, to install them, and so forth. And I got a phone call from someone that wanted to know if I would be interested in help sell this internet service for these consumers in the western part of the state and sell them the dish or the, it was like an antenna that would go on their house, and they would have to then, of course, have the wiring run. It basically is like a satellite dish. It was a different, you know, unit, but basically it would give you high-speed internet, and that particular antenna would connect to the wireless transmitter that was on the telephone tower in the nearby area. So I got a phone call if I was interested, because we're out in this area and they needed someone who could sell them to the consumer, talk to the consumer, explain to them how it works. Also, they needed crews to go out and make the installations. So I had a meeting with upper management of this telecommunications company, and nothing that we talked about at that meeting that day really made sense to me. It seemed to me like the government was pushing to get this done. They took tobacco money from the tobacco farmers and used that money as the seed money. They put the transmitters out on some of the telecommunications towers, and they did not get a signal stronger than dial-up. so as I continued to work with these people, kind of not really working with them, but kind of just monitoring what they were doing, they couldn't really get this up off the ground and get it going. And I know that the White House got very antsy, and the Department of Commerce got very antsy because this could not take place fast enough. Well, the more I met with these people, the more I felt like that the goal through this was just to be able to get these people in these areas online so they could use it to brainwash these people, because Virginia was a very critical part of the election. So I kept watching the misorganization within these groups of people and how nobody could really give you a straight answer of how it was going to all work and who was going to be in charge of the telecommunications company and who was going to support the end users and everything. And nothing really kind of made sense. So I started backing off from it because I couldn't get answers from people. Well, come to find out, I mean, it was millions of dollars that had been spent on these transmitters. Well, then they couldn't get a clear signal. And supposedly there was interference with something in North Carolina that was causing the problems, and one thing led to another, and I could tell by listening to so many people through through this organization that they were frustrated, that the government was really pushing them. There was a lot of pressure coming down from Washington, and they really needed to get this up and going. But they ended up buying the internet service, and I'm not quite sure. I mean, I'm into computers and tech and technology, and I've been in IT for a long time, but I'm not 100% sure how they bought the bandwidth or how they actually connected to a company that wasn't even in America. It was in Red China, from what we understand. So all this money that came from these tobacco farmers, or that was taken from these tobacco farmers, was sent to Red China to have all these transmitters built and all this stuff done and all these things installed on these towers, and then they didn't work anyway. And people wanted to know what was going on. And nothing made sense. As time progressed and it came time for the election, what happened in that particular part of the state with all that internet service did not make a difference because they couldn't get it up and running. And I think they bailed. All of that money was lost. That whole project was scratched because it was too close to the election at that time, and there was nothing anybody could do. So all that money that was that came from honest people and that should have gone to honest, hardworking farmers was taken, used. It didn't happen. So I told you all that to tell you this. I saw firsthand how important it was for them to control the content that was delivered to the citizens. And our White House has too much control over the people. They want to monitor and control what you know, what you think, what you believe, what you do, what you say, where you go. They're probably listening to our radio program right now. I know, because I know that there are certain people that have been tasked to listen to what we talk about, because the next day or in a few days, I'll get a phone call or an email from someone that questions some things that we say, and they're from the upper echelon in leadership. So I know that we're listening, being listened to. What I'm trying to say to you is we need to stop this, but I'm not quite sure we can. The FCC is controlled by our present government. It didn't matter really how many phone calls we made. Every citizen in the United States could have called and said, don't vote for this, and it would have made a difference. There's got to be a way that they can start taking away the freedom of speech from people. And that's going to happen in every way possible. Now, we don't watch television at our place, so I don't know a whole lot about what happened with CNN coming off of Dish and then Fox coming off of Dish for a while. I'm not quite sure what happened with all the contracts, but there was a lot of talk in the past few months about these national news companies coming off of these particular Dish services. And because they had problems with their contract renewals and things like that. But there's conservative talk shows. There are people who tell it like it is. They don't hold nothing back. If you're a conservative person, you watch Fox, you watch Glenn Beck, and you watch listen to Rush Limbaugh, and you listen to Sean Hannity, and you listen to all these people that talk about America and patriotism and the corruption in our government and so forth, there is a group of people who want to get rid of them no matter what. So they put the pressure on them with, through the FCC, you have to understand that they regulate communications. And it will get to the point where if you are a particular kind of group, you might not be able to air on television, air on radio, and the next goal would have been internet. How do you get the words out to the people? The way it's looking right now, we might have to revert back to the old-fashioned newspaper to get our information. That's another reason why I feel like it's very important to start gathering the people in your communities, wherever you're listening to me from, your community and the power that your community can have working together in unity is going to be the only saving grace we're going to be able to have to be able to know what's going on with our neighbors and so forth. I do think that our freedom that we've had for worldwide communications is going to come to a screeching halt very quickly. And we can talk about it today. It's kind of like talking about a winter storm coming, and people get, you know, all excited about the storm coming, and they get all nervous, and they talk about it, and then the storm comes, and it's not as big as they think. So then their faith in the storm fizzles out. And a couple days later, the news people talk about a storm coming again, and they're like, whatever. If it comes, fine. If it don't, fine. And then they get land blasted with 12 inches of snow, and then their electricity goes out, and they don't know what to do, and they're in shock because people lose faith in the system in so many ways. I could talk about that forever. But net neutrality, what does it mean for you? It could mean a lot of change in your internet abilities. It could move on along without a problem for a while, but I really don't think that's going to happen. I really do believe that you're going to see some changes come down the pike really soon, and I think you're going to see regulations come. We might not even be able to broadcast our community radio program. You might be able to broadcast unless I said a particular word, and then it cuts me off. You don't know. We have no idea where it's going. What do we do between now and then? We keep on plugging along. We keep on telling everybody the truth, telling them what's going on, because every single person that listens to your voice or hears your comments or reads your post or digs and finds out a little bit more about what's going on is one more soul that you have an opportunity to witness to talk to convert, to educate. It's important. And you just can't say, oh, well, it's all over, and our life is over when it comes to the Internet, and we might as well forget it all. Well, you can't do that, and you can't wait till that time comes. But you have to prepare yourself that, yes, come the end of this year, there's a whole lot of stuff's going to change in this country. If you're a Christian and you're a spiritual person, and you're reading the Bible and you're watching the signs, you know that 2015 is a big deal in a lot of ways. Have you ever listened to John Hagee talk about the blood moons? Have you ever studied the blood moons? We've got one coming up April 4th, another one September 13th, I believe. And a lot of things go on when it comes time for these blood moons. Not coincidence, and I'm not saying or prophesying at all, because none of us know when the end of the time is going to come. And we can't say that 2015 is going to be it, and that by the end of the year the whole country is going to fall apart. We don't know that. But there's a whole lot of things that are facing that direction, and there's a whole lot of things that are happening in our government and in our world that points to the end times and points to that time when, you know, there is a lot of confusion, there's a lot of wars and rumors of wars, you know, earthquakes in diverse places. Last night, or sometime in the wee hours of the morning, there was an earthquake right here in Mineral, Virginia. It's these types of earthquakes that you hear about and these things that you see come to pass that happen that are in odd places and things that you're not used to seeing, that's showing that we are in the end times. Now, if you're not a Christian and you don't understand those things and you don't believe them, you have that right, you know, to not believe it either. And you have that right to not listen to what, you know, I say or whatever. But you do have a responsibility to educate yourself and to educate those that are around you. I would hope that you would try to work hard to find the truth and not just take somebody's word for it. You know, I was listening to Rush Limbaugh the past couple of days when we took a lunch break, and I was listening to him talk about net neutrality and different things with the web and where we were going with it. And, you know, just because I listened to what he had to say, I wasn't going to then take his word for it. I started digging myself, and I was shocked at all the websites that talked about net neutrality. It's a great thing for you. It'll make our country equal. And I was really surprised and, you know, really astounded at how many websites were out there that actually told people to favor net neutrality, especially if you're a black person, because it will give you more opportunity to voice your opinion. That has nothing to do with it. I mean, seriously. And they're using other races, they're using other cultures, other religious groups to try to tell them that this is going to help you, this is going to benefit you. And it's, period. It's buying votes. That's all it is. I guess the next thing will be, for anybody who can't get on the Internet, we'll give you some type of box and hook you up to the World Wide Web for free. And if the Internet service provider wants to charge you for it, we'll just tell them you can't do that because you're poor and you don't have any money and you're struggling, so you have to give them free Internet access. It's like healthcare. It's the same thing. Anyway, I hope you understand a little bit more about net neutrality tonight. You know, we talk about how many people use the Internet Do you know that as of 2014, the end of the year, the number of internet users worldwide was 2.92 billion users? That's really scary. That's a lot of people online. And there's a lot of people that say they're not going to get online. If you want to tell me something, pick up the phone and call me. I'm one of those people, believe it or not, even though I do this for a living. There's nothing that irritates me anymore than somebody sending me a Facebook message and wants to talk about something very serious and want to have a conversation about a serious subject or invite me somewhere or need to get me an urgent message and send it to me on Facebook. That irritates the daylights out of me. Pick up the telephone and call me. Why do you have to use the internet anyway to communicate with people? I mean, don't get me wrong. I love to use the internet to communicate with people on a certain level. And, you know, it's a great way to tell people your life and your story and what you're selling and what you're doing and, you know, all those things. That's great. It's a wonderful tool. But there are so many people who sit there glued to it. You know, they can't go anywhere without their iPad. They can't go anywhere without scrolling on their phone. They can't even have a serious conversation. They can't even have supper with somebody. I've seen so many people at a restaurant, it makes me want to throw up. Honestly, it really turns my stomach to where I almost need to get up and leave the restaurant. When I go and I sit down and I see a couple, and it's a nice, quiet time, and they're sitting there, and they're romantic, and it's dark, and it's beautiful music playing, and Curtis and I very seldom get to do this, but every now and then we get to go, and we're sitting there, and I'm looking at all the people around us thinking, why do you even bother to go out to eat with somebody when you're sitting there scrolling the whole time you're at the table? What is people's problems? But you see it all the time. You see a family. You know, all the children have a phone. All of them are scrolling. All of them are playing or chatting or, hey, look at this. Such and such said this on Facebook while we're sitting here eating. Duh. Do you really have to talk about it right this moment? I don't know. It just really gets to me. And you know, so then we have families that are falling apart, and it just makes you crazy. So do we really need the internet as much as we think we do? I don't know. Maybe it would be a good thing for the regulations to start pulling some of this to where that we got away from it a little bit. Maybe it would be a good idea. It would start getting people back to where that they sat at the kitchen table and had a supper together. They actually sat at a restaurant and talked. Boy, I tell you one thing. When the internet starts getting played with, though, people's content and their access to other people starts getting tampered with, people get nuts. I've seen people go ballistic because they lost their phone. They didn't have no idea where it was. They had to go 2 or 3 days without it. They didn't know what was going on. They actually had to think for a living. They actually had to talk to somebody. They actually had to look up a phone number in the phone book. So I don't want to go into the negative side of it, but maybe net neutrality is what America needs. I know people that are conservative that are listening to me tonight are thinking, are you crazy, Katrina? I can't believe you would say that. Well, no, I don't want my freedoms taken away either. I don't want my website, because I'm a conservative person, because I'm a Christian, you know, I don't want my business website being blocked or taken down just because I'm that kind of person. I don't want what we're doing with the community radio and the community journal and everything else that we're doing. I don't want that to be taken away. No, I don't want that to happen. It could happen, but it might be a wake-up call. Americans have got to come together, and they can't do it by sitting behind a computer. People can say anything they want to while they're sitting in front of Facebook. They can post messages. They can share out all these conservative, patriotic, right-wing kind of things. The left side can be irritated with the right side, and they can cut you down, and they can, post any kind of news things that they want, whether it's right or wrong. Lies. They can do it. Listen, Warren Buffett, I hope you're listening to me tonight. I'm not happy at the way your money is controlling America. I do not agree with your liberal ways of thinking, and I think it's wrong that you use your publications, your television, your radio, and all the things that you're doing to spread lies and rumors and untruths through your newspapers, through in our local Powhatan Today. Our local newspaper is so full of things that are not true, has been for years, brainwashing the citizens. I'm not a happy camper. And more citizens need to know more about what's going on in this country. So if it all got taken away, people might have to actually think and dig and wonder, is this true or not? But people can sit behind the computer right now and they can read things and they can post things and they can forward and share and do whatever they want to do, and they don't even know if what they're sharing is the truth. They just send it on. Or they can be very vocal when it comes to getting behind a keyboard. But when it comes down to standing shoulder to shoulder, when you need to go to bat for your cause, they're not going to come out. They're not going to go to meetings. They're not going to go down to the Board of Supervisors meetings and sit and listen to what's going on. They're not going to complain. They're not going to write letters to the editor of the papers. They're not going to do anything, but they'll do it behind a computer. So I don't know. Maybe net neutrality would be a way that we would actually get these people who claim to be patriots a little shaken up. Maybe it would get them off of their backside and doing something important. Net neutrality. It is a big topic in the news. You've got to get well-versed with what's coming down for you and what it means for your company, your organization. It might not be the same as it's always been. I'm Katrina Blankenship, your host of Community Radio. We are continually working towards kindling a fire in communities, one person at a time. I thank you for listening to the show tonight. I trust that you will forward this to your friends and neighbors and work hard to protect the freedoms that we have here in America. No matter which side you're on, we still have a right. Freedom of speech, freedom of press, freedom of religion. We still have those freedoms in this country. And so I would trust that you would work hard to protect those freedoms, and also to work hard to be a better neighbor to your community. Listen to what they have to say. Talk to your neighbors. Talk about these topics. Get together with your neighbors and have supper and talk about these things. Educate your children. Get them from the TV and the video games and get them back to the kitchen table for breakfast. They might have to go away during the day, but get them back for supper at night, to where that y'all can have these discussions and educate these young people so they know what's going on in their world. They're going to face a lot here very soon. Thank you for listening to the show tonight. Next week, I'm pretty sure that we're going to have Congressman Hurt on. Something came up with his schedule and he couldn't be on with us tonight. So I'm pretty sure that he'll be on with us this coming Thursday night. Hopefully we'll also have an update from the General Assembly. They're getting ready to close up shop for this session, and I'm sure we'll have an update and talk about what has gone on, things that were voted on, some hot topics in the General Assembly, what's going on here in Virginia. And I'm sure that you have a lot of things to share from your neck of the woods. So please send your notes, your thoughts, your letters, your columns, to us for the Community Journal, and we appreciate your support every day, every step of the way. We're growing, and it's because of your support. Feel free to give us a call during the week at 804-598-9301 or send me an email at katrina@katrina.com. May God bless each and every one of you, and have a blessed evening.
There's pride in every American heart, and it's time we